Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Miss Pat. Appreciate you playing there for us. Job chapter 42 this morning. I want you to have your Bibles ready and look at the Word of God today with me. I'm excited about this message this morning. Of course, I get excited about every time that I have an opportunity to represent the Lord. And I am just His mouthpiece, His voice. And I pray that God help me to be a vessel that God could use to be a help and be a blessing to others as well. And I want to read a couple of verses here in Job chapter 42. Then we're going to go back to Job chapter 1 and pick up the story here and look at what God has to say for us. And I really believe the Lord can help us today if we'll just allow God to open our hearts and our minds to Him. Look at Job 42. Let's read the last two verses of this whole story. The last two verses of the whole events of Job's life. The Bible says in verse 16, after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. If you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to take a pen or pencil and I want you to underscore the two words, after this. After this. Today, with the help of God, we're going to look at two defining moments in the life of Job. And these two defining moments that we find in his life, as recorded for us here in the Word of God, we will be able to identify with this dear brother, Job. We may not face or have faced the same circumstances or situations, but in some way, some shape or form, we have been dealing with trials and tribulations and heartache and heartbreak and sadness and tears, disappointments and letdowns. But I want you to know, after this. And I want to speak to you on those two words this morning, after this. We know that God is a God, is the God of order. And God has placed the book of Job here prior to the book of Psalm and prior to the book of Proverbs. And we know that Job is the oldest book in all the Word of God. Some would say, well, why does it not come before Genesis then? Because God is the God of order. God gives us a historical fact here. You see, the book of Job, it's not necessarily really about Job. The book of Job is really about God. And that's the lesson. That's what God wants us to see when we read the 42 chapters of the book of Job. It's not about this man who was a righteous man, who was godly and a man of truth and a man of integrity. He escheweth evil. It wasn't a man about this man, Job, but it was about Job's God, the God of heaven, Jehovah God. God has placed this historical book before the book of Psalms, which is a devotional book, and the book of Proverbs, which is a practical book. But yet we find ourselves anchored and standing here in this historical book of Job. Look at there again, after this. Look at the word this. This, after this. We use that little word this. Look at this. Look at that. This is sad. This is good. This is bad. This. What is this? God uses the word after this. The word this is a definitive word. It's denoting something in the present or near in place or time. Something that has just happened. Something that's just been mentioned after this. So here, all of Job's trial. Matter of fact, it only lasted a year. 42 chapters. His trial only lasted a year before God blessed him in the latter end more than Job had in the beginning. But here God brings us all the way through the journey, through the trial, the testings of Job. And God comes to the next to the last verse of the book of Job and says, after this. After it's all said and done and the dust settled and the smoke cleared, the Bible says, look at it, verse 16. Lived Job. I'm going to conclude the message with this statement I'm about to make. There is a life after the trial. There's life after your test.
There's life after your heartache. You say, well, Pastor, I've got a serious illness. I got an infirmity that, you know, I prayed and asked God like Paul, and God hadn't taken it from him, but God has given me grace. But you know what? There's going to come a day that this old body is going to be laid in a grave somewhere. And after this, Job lived. I'm going to live, maybe not without pain or heartache in this life, but I'll live with it one day in that new world. But look at the Word of God. Let's look at Job here. Job here, the conclusion of Job is the fact that there is life in and after the trial. There are two expressions that we find here in the book of Job that I want to show you today and study and look at. And these are two defining moments in Job's life. And before we can get to the after this moment here in verse 16, before Job arrives to this moment, before you and I can get to this point in our life, after this is over, after the heartache and trials are over, after this, we've got to face the first moment. And I want you to go back with me here in the book of Job. Go to chapter 1 right quick, and we see the first of these expressions here. Two expressions of defining moments in Job's life. Before we get to the after this moment, we see Job living here in this moment. Look at chapter 1 and verse 22. Chapter 21 and verse 22. We see Job living in this moment. Underline the words, in all this. In all this. At the end, God says, after this. But here we find Job living in all this. Job may have thought that he's in prison here some ways, without bars. He feels as if he's been shackled, he's been walled up, he's been hedged in, he's been hemmed up, if you will. And it seems to Job that there may be no way out of this, in all this. This was a defining moment for this man. We're going to see here in just a moment what Job did in all this, that we too can learn from this man of God what we shall and must do in all of this before we can get to the after this in our life. Many times, we all want to get to the after this. We want it all to be over. Some people take their own life and think that that's going to ease the problem and settle all the hardship. Listen, that's a temporary solution to a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The sun will come up again. Because the promise of every sunset is that the sun will rise again. Again, look with me please there in verse 22 of chapter 1. In all this, Job. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part. In all this, Job is in the middle, in the midst of the epitome of trials. I guarantee you there's no man suffered like Job suffered. Job is the epitome of trials. I mean, to the extent that God could stretch it. Because God wants us to see that God is able to be there, will be there, not only in all this, but after all this. This moment here in Job chapter 1 came upon Job unexpectedly. It came upon Job unannounced. It came upon Job, really, in chapter 2 and verse 3. Look at it, please. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Not only did it come unexpectedly, I don't know, but it came without cause. You see that? God is telling Satan here, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. There's no reason, God is saying, why I should do this to Job. Why I should do this to this man of God. And so we see here that Job is on trial here between God and the devil, if you will. We see these moments here. Number one, I want you to write this down. In all this moment, there are two moments here that Job faces. Number one, it was a dark moment. A dark moment. A dark moment. These were times of proving, times of pruning. No doubt times of positioning in Job's life. God has taken Job to a new place, a new horizon, a brighter, better day in his life. God has taken Job to the after this moment. But in order to get to the after this moment in chapter 42, Job's got to live in all this moment. And in this moment, it's a dark moment. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 25 and 26 of Job 3. Look at this, verse 25. For the thing, Job says, which I greatly feared is come upon me. What do you greatly fear today? That phone call in the middle of the night? That doctor's report? That test result? What is the thing today that you greatly fear? Job said, the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. He said, this is a dark hour in my life. Look at it, please, in verse 25. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. It's here. It has knocked on my door, and I answered the door. It rang my number, and I picked up the phone, and I answered it when it called. The very thing that I was afraid of, the very thing that I feared, is right here on me now. Look at verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Underline those next three words. Yet trouble came. A man that has no troubles, a man that has nothing. But here in Job's life, just like our life, trouble is going to come. No doubt about it. Trouble is going to come. Your marriage, ministry, trouble is going to come. It's a dark hour for Job. But yet you and I, as Job, when the trouble came and the fear surrounded and the fear overtook us here, yet we as Job, we determine in our heart that we're going to live for God. Look in chapter 1 there. Verse 1, the Bible says, there was a certain man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. That means mature, spiritually grown, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. The word eschewed evil means to turn away from sin. He was a godly man, but yet trouble came. He was a righteous man, yet trouble came. He was a holy man, yet trouble came. He was a dedicated believer, a dedicated Christian, yet trouble came to his life. Yeah, the thing that I feared the most, the thing that I was afraid of the most, is coming to me. He says, trouble came. Trouble came in all this. It's a dark moment. Look at verse 5. It says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sinned and sacrificed, sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He was a godly man. He was a faithful man, faithful to his wife, faithful to his children, faithful to the task that God had given him. Yet trouble came. It's a dark moment. May I say this morning that trouble comes in all different sizes and all different shapes. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, he calls them manifold temptations. The word manifold means multicolored, multi-shapes, various shapes. Square trials, rectangular burdens, circled heartaches, blue burdens, red heartbreaks, yellow burdens and devastation, all manifold, multicolored, multi-shaped, these manifold temptations. It's a dark hour for Job. We had the time, and I think we all know the story that Job lost everything that he had. Lost his 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters in one day. One day, the same day, lost all of his herds and his flocks. In one day, lost all of his wealth. One day, he loses his health in one day's time. One day. It's a dark hour in all this. That's a defining moment for Job. Not only was it a dark hour, but let me give you the second thing about this moment here that Job finds himself in. It was a discouraging moment. It was a discouraging moment. The devil, no doubt, whispers in Job's ear, this is what you get for serving God. This is the best God has for you. You've lost all of this. the pain and the heartache that you're going through. Listen, you were in chapter 1, verse 1, you were a mighty man. But here in chapter 2, you're full of boils and sores, and you're sitting in ashes, and you're scraping your flesh. You're scraping your wounds. Is this the kind of God you serve? Satan would say. It was a very discouraging moment. Look at it, please. Look in chapter 2 and verse 8. He took him a potsherd to scrape himself with oil. He sat down among the ashes. He's sitting here. He's scraping. And all that, look at verse 10. His wife comes to him. And in verse 10, but she said, listen, curse God and die there in verse 9. She said, curse God and die. Here's Job's companion, his best friend, says, listen, Job, it's over. You'd be better off to ease the pain, ease the heartache in your life. Just curse God and die. That's Job's companion. Job looked at her and said, listen, woman, you speak like the foolish women. The word foolish there means the ignorant, the unconverted. What Job is saying, you're speaking like a lost woman speaks, a one that has no hope in God. But we've got hope in God, Job would say to his wife. Then we see in verse 11, Job's critics show up. A very discouraging moment. Three friends here. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar there in verse 11. These three friends. One of them said, Job, you've sinned. Listen, when you and I are going through a hard time in our life, the last thing I need somebody to do is call me up and tell them how much sin I've committed. I think the Holy Ghost of God do that. The reason you're going through this, you've got sin in your life, Job. The next friend stepped up and chapters later and says, Job, you're nothing but a hypocrite. You're nothing but a hypocrite. The third friend stepped up and said, Job, you know what? You're nothing but a liar. You've lied to God. You've lied somewhere along the way. And God's dealing with you. God's judging you. God wouldn't do this, Job, to a righteous man, they would say. It's a very discouraging moment in Job's life. Here he has his companion, his wife, saying, curse God and die. He has these three critics who supposed to have been his friends. They said, you've got sin in your life. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar, Job. Then look in verse 13 of chapter 2. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word in him, for they saw that his grief was very great. A very discouraging moment. Words were not spoken. No one could say anything, find any words, any expressions, no poems, no beautiful words to lift Job out of this defining moment. In all this, Job is living. In all this. There are times that our hearts get so wounded that we think, as Elijah thought back in 1 Kings 19, Lord, it is enough. Just take my life. A very discouraging moment. But then I want you to notice a few things here in all this. This dark and discouraging moments, I want you to know how Job... Now listen to me. All of us want to be on the side after this, amen or not. We want to be past the trial. We want to be over the valley, through the valley. We want it to be over with. We want the sun to be shining again in our life. We're tired of these dark clouds that have gathered. Is that right? But what we do and how we act and how we respond in all this determines how soon we get to the place after this. How did Job respond in all this? Let me give you a few things quickly here to help you, I believe. Look in chapter 1, verse 22. Number one, we believe and know by, based upon the Word of God, Job did not commit sin. When the heat was turned up, when the heaven was brass, when God covered Himself in a dark cloud, when God put His hand against the man of God here without cause, when Job lost his 10 precious children, His wife said, curse God and die. She lost her confidence in God. The Bible says in verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not. Job did not commit sin. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Not only did Job not commit sin, but number two, Job did not charge God. Look at verse 22 of chapter 1. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Number three, Job did not curse God. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Look in verse 9 of chapter 2. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. In verse 10, look in chapter 3 and verse 1. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day, but he never cursed his God, nor charged his God foolishly. You want to know how to respond in these defining moments? When you and I find ourselves in all of this, living in all this, as Job says there in Job 1:22, in all this, Job. Listen, we can't sin. We can't charge God foolishly. We can't curse God. I remember hearing the story of a young lady. She told the pastor who was speaking to her that she's mad at God. And he says, well, why are you mad at God for? She said, well, I'm 17 years old now, but when I was 5 years old, God took my daddy from me. I said, oh, really? What kind of man was your dad like? He said, well, my dad was a drunker. He was a drunk and a drug addict. He lived a hard life, and I've been had a hard days as a young girl. One night, my dad got drunk, and my dad took too many drugs and overdosed and died. And she said, ever since that day, since I was 5 years old, I've been mad at God. He said, it sounds like to me God didn't have anything to do with taking your daddy. Sounds like to me your daddy's lifestyle was what took his life. His drug overdose, his alcohol abuse. And I want you to know, listen, and I think of that story, and I think about all these things here. Listen, are you mad at God today? What are you mad at God for? Are you bitter at God today? Why are you bitter at God for? Hasn't God been good to you? He said, prove it, preacher. When has God been good to me? You're sitting right here on the pew this morning, aren't you? You got up this morning. You walked in here this morning. You're breathing God's air. And listen, you're enjoying God's creation. Listen, being bitter and mad at God will not take you and I to the next moment in our life. Oh, we all want to be in the moment of after this. But how are we responding in all of this? When the moment is hot, and the days are long and dark, and the nights are long and dark, there is the in all this moment. Then go to chapter 42. Let me look at this next moment quickly. The Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin. Job did not curse God. He did not charge God foolishly. He wasn't mad at God. But here we find that after this, here's an after this moment, a defining moment in Job's life. May I say this morning that how we respond to the first defining moment will determine when we arrive at this next defining moment. He said in all this moment, yes, it may be dark today in your life, it may be discouraging at this moment. But yet, may I say this morning, even though it may be dark and discouraging, can I just give you another D word, if you will? We've got to come to the point to where it becomes delightful moments. Delightful moments. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? My heart is broken. My valley is deep. The mountains are high. The waters, I'm treading deep water. What are you talking about? Delighting in my storm, delighting in my trial, delighting in my pain, my setback, my heartbreak. It's, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God's grace and help, it's possible. And we've got to delight in this moment. In all of this, we've got to delight in all that darkness and all that discouraging. Now listen to me. Go back to Job right quick. Here we are. Go back to Job chapter 1. Let God help you today with something here. The Lord's helping me right here. It may be dark in your little world today. You may have walked up those front steps and entered that door, and behind your smile and your handshake, your heart's broken, your heart's discouraged, your spirit is downcast. Paul said there when he prayed for God to remove that thorn of the flesh, he said, most, when God said, I won't do it, Paul, but I'm going to give you grace, I'm going to give you sufficient grace, what was Paul's next word? Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Most gladly, therefore. You mean, Paul, you're going to delight in your thorn?
Yeah.
You're going to delight in your heart? Yeah. You're going to be glad for it? Oh, yeah. God said he wouldn't take it away from me, but he said he'd give me sufficient grace to bear up under it and bear with it. And then it brings us back here to the book of Job here. Note a few things here. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. You know what Job did? Not only did he not sin and did he not curse God, did he not charge God, but there's more to Job's story than just that. Here's how we delight in these moments in our life. In all this, there must be delight. And I'm sure, and I know it's hard. I've been there myself. But look at verse 20 of Job 1:20. Here, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, Job has just had four major trials, bad news to hit him and knock the very wind out of his sail. Look in verse 20. Then Job arose after hearing all the devastation. He arose and he rent his mantle. He tore his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and what? Worshipped. You know what Job is telling you and I? He says, it's come upon me, that thing I feared, that thing I was afraid of is here. It's knocked on my door and I've opened the door and it's here. Well, what are you going to do, Job? I'll tell you one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to have to adore my Lord in all this. That's what that word worship means. It means to adore, to put God in all in your life. Listen, Job just lost everything he had. And the very next verse says that he worshiped God. Worshiped God. He adored the one that put his hand against him without cause. But yet Job finds himself in the dark and discouraged and in downcast moments, delighting in this moment. What's he doing? Well, he's not sinning. He's not cursing God. He's not charging God. Well, what is he doing then if he's not doing that? He's worshiping God. He says, Lord, I just still love you. Lord, I still need you. Lord, I still desire you. Lord, I'm not going to turn my back on you. Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the only one, as Peter said there in John 6. You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? I have none other, God, but you. Let me ask you this. Look at me. In the midst of your trial, whatever you're facing right now, when's the last time you adored God in it? When's the last time I adored God? When's the last time we really worshiped God in all this? In all this. If we're not careful, we'll make in all this all about us. All about our hurt. all about our setback. Preacher, just don't know. And I don't, probably. And I'm not minimizing that. I'm not mocking or making fun. I've been there. But wouldn't you and I benefit ourselves a little bit better if we didn't make it all out about us and made it all about Him? That's what Job does here. He worshiped God. He adored Him. Look at the next one quickly. Look at verse 21. I like this here. And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Look at this. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only does he adore God, but he acknowledges God. This is the work of God. God allowed this. Job understands. Look at it, please. He says, the Lord has given. The Lord has given. Who took it away? He took it away. But had he not first given it, there will be nothing for him to come and take away. So many times we hang on to that last part. God, you took it away. I don't like it that you took it away. Oh, God, what are you doing taking it away? You took my job. You took my health. You took my spouse. Lord, you took my home. God, what are you doing? I don't like that part. We wouldn't have none of these things had God not first gave it to us. Job adored God. He acknowledged God. You see, Job didn't say the Lord gave, and the Sambians there in verse 15 of chapter 1 said the Sambians fell upon them. Job didn't say the Lord gave, and the Sambians took them away. Job didn't say, God, you made me rich, and the devil has taken away, and he's made me poor. No, it wasn't what Job said. Job said, Lord, you gave, and it's you, Lord, that is taken away. And Job acknowledges this. It's not the disease that takes it away. It's not the indebtedness that takes it away. It's not the devil that takes it away. But it's the Lord that gave is the same Lord that takes away. Job knew that he that gave all may take what, when, and how much he pleases. David lost all of his family, did he not? Remember the story there of Ziklag? 1 Samuel chapter 30. David came back with his mighty men. Man, his house, his city was burnt to the ground. His wife and children were taken. The Lord only knows where they've taken them. Job said, and listen, look at me. And the men that were with him, the Bible says they rose up to stone David. Good night, man. It was pretty bad for David, too. Real bad for David. His home's gone. His city's gone. Wife and children are gone. And here are the very ones that he loves, and they love him. They pick up stones, and they're about ready to stone the man of God, the king of Israel. But the Bible says there in 1 Samuel 30, I believe it's in verse 8, I believe it's the 8th verse. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what David is doing? David is telling us that he learned how to delight in all this. Job said, I've learned how to delight in all this. Do I like it? No. I wouldn't wish this trial on my worst enemy. But I'm going to delight not in the trial per se, but I'm going to delight in the Lord in the trial. You see? And here we find, go to chapter 46 right quick. And let's bring this to a close. I like this here. Chapter 46 and verse 16. After this, look, because Job sinned not, he was faithful to God yet still. I encourage you to listen, be faithful to God. Job did not sin. He did not charge God foolishly. He did not curse God and turn his back on God. Didn't get bitter, mad at God. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He adored God. Listen, he acknowledged God. Just stay right there in chapter 42. Don't move. Let me show you this last one. I forgot to show it to you. Verse 22, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. He applauds God. God, you've been great. God, you've been kind to me. Lord, you're worthy of my praise and my worship. God, you're worthy of my acknowledgement. God, you've been so good to me. You gave and you took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In other words, Job applauded God. Lord, you've been so good to me. When's the last time you and I applauded God in all this? In all this. Notice here, back in chapter 42, this verse that we've read for our text here, the Bible says, after this, Job, look at this, after this, lived Job how many years? What is it? 140 years, saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. Think of that. He and his wife had 10 more children. And all of that, those children married, and they had children. They grew up married, they had children. They grew up, he got to see his grandbabies and his great-grandbabies and his great-great-grandbabies. After this. You see, there is life in the trial where we can delight in it. But there's life after the trial. Look at it. Verse 17, so Job died, being old. What's that next expression? Full of days. Think of that. Let me encourage you this morning, stay upon Jehovah. God will see you through it. There's life after the storms. There's life after the setback. There's life after the struggles. It will not last forever. This too shall pass. You see, our trials are not an end in and of themselves. But there is life after the trial. Psalm 30, verse 5. Let me close with this verse. Part of it. The last part of Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure in all of this. Yes, it hurts, I know. But joy cometh in the morning after this. There's two defining moments in the life of Job. In all this, after this. Those same two defining moments you and I will find along life's way. And the thing that helped Job out, matter of fact, God blessed him. Look in verse 12 of chapter 42. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Gave him more sheep, more oxen, more camels. Verse 13, he had also seven sons and three daughters. God blessed him more, twice as much as he had in the beginning. You know why? You know why God was so good to Job? Because how Job responded in his trial. He didn't badmouth God. He didn't forsake God, get bitter, mad at God, turn his back on God. But no, he blessed the name of the Lord. He adored God. He acknowledged God. He applauded God. Lord, you've been so good to me. And the way Job responded in his trial, in his defining moment, God gave him grace and life to live long enough to get after this lived. Job, 140 more years. That's a long time, is it not? You know what? God can do the same in our life today. Why don't you let Him do that? Ask God to help you to delight in it. Ask God to help you to see the silver lining around the dark cloud. Ask God to help you to see the good over the bad. Ask God to help you to see that the glass is half full, not half empty. Ask God to help you to delight in Him.